not have time to go over the purports. That's your job, so that you can do, because otherwise I have too much portions to cover. So, if you remember, in the second canto, Narada Muni had asked 5-6 questions to Brahmaji. Yad rupam, yad adhishtanam, yad srishtam, idam prabho, yad samstam, yad param, yad cha, tat tatvam, tat tatvam. Yad rupam, what is the form of this universe? Yad adhishtanam, who is the shelter of this universe? Yad srishtam, how is creation carried out in this world? Yad samstam, after dissolution, where does this universe and all living entities rest? Yat Param, who is the Supreme Personality, who is the Lord of all Lords? And Yat Cha, what are the material ingredients of this universe? So these six questions were asked by Narada Muni to Brahmaji. And in response to the third question, Yata Srishtam, how the universe is created? So basically he is going to, he discussed that primary creation. So the same thing that we are going to see in the fifth chapter of third canto is what was described in this fifth chapter of second canto. Same fifth chapter, but in the second canto it was called. So, yata srishtam, how this universe is created. So creation is of two types in brief, primary creation and secondary creation, sarga and visarga. And sarga means creation of the facility to live. The 14 planetary systems, how they are created from the scratch. That is sarga. And Karanodaka Sai Vishnu and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu together, they carry out sarga. And visarga, secondary creation, is carried out by Brahmaji and his assistants, the Prajapatis, the Manus, all of them carry out the secondary creation, visarga. So visarga is creation of bodies of living entities. So that will be discussed little later. In second canto, visarga is very briefly touched upon in the 10th chapter. Last chapter of second canto very briefly touches visarga, but it will be little more detailed description will come in the third canto, and the fourth canto of course will continue with the visarga. How the various manus and prajapatis and brahmaji, how they create various species. So creation of bodies, paurusha, visarga paurusha smrita, second canto describes. Visarga means creation of the bodies of living entities. And sarga means creation of the living facility, 14 planetary systems, how they are created. Okay, this is clear, what is sarga, what is visarga. So now, how this primary creation is carried out, as described in the second canto. In third canto, what we will see now, the sequence is little bit jumbled. So Srila Vishnachakra Thakur mentions that the sequence that is mentioned in the second canto of chapter is the correct sequence. And because this is the third canto, what is described is more or less like a summary, therefore the sequence is sort of not very properly maintained. Like sometimes when you want to summarize certain things, you may not exactly summarize it in the sequence in which you have spoken. We saw this, we saw this, we saw this. It may not be in sequence. So, when Maitreya is describing, the sequence is little bit jumbled. So, the Acharyas clarify that the sequence mentioned in the second canto, which we are going to see right now, that's what is the right sequence. Okay. So, let's go over this creation. So, kalam karma svabhavam cha mayesho mayaya svaya atmanya drichaya praptam Vipubhushas Upadade. Mayeshaha, the Lord of Maya. Who is the Lord of Maya?
Mahavishnu.
Mahavishnu. Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Vipubhushu. Now, you see, we discussed the other day. Vipubhushu means he desired to become many. So that has to be understood in the right context. He desired to become many means it is his time for creation. And the living entities who were within the body of Mahavishnu were going to be released now through the glands of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is not going to create new living entities. Living entities are not created. Living entities are co-eternally existing with the Supreme Lord, either inside his body or outside his body or in the spiritual world. These are the three places where the living entities can rest. After creation of the material facility, they exist out. After dissolution of that facility, they exist inside the body. After getting liberated, they may stay in either Brahmajyoti or in the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha or Goloka, somewhere. There is one another place where they can stay. If they are within from Patala to Swarga, which are destroyed after every day of Brahma gets over, there is every day pralaya, after 1000 Chaturyugas, after 1000 Yuga cycles, when Brahmaji would go to sleep, from Patala to Swarga they are destroyed. And those living entities along with Brahma, they go and rest inside the body of Garbhodak Sayusha. So there are four places where you might find living entities during different phases. During final dissolution, they will be, if they are not yet ready for liberation, they will be inside Karmadaka Sai Vishnu's body. During partial dissolution, if they were inhabiting one of the planetary systems from Patala to Swarga, then they would be inside Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's body. Or if it is the time for, if it is the day of Brahma and if it is not the time for dissolution, then they will be inhabiting one of the 14 planetary systems in this material world. The fourth probability is, else they will be in the spiritual world in one of the Vaikuntha or Goloka planetary systems. Or if they don't want to establish a personal relationship with the Lord, they will be in the Brahmajyoti. These are the possible places.
What was the third one?
The third one is, and what were the first two?
The first was the Karmadaka Sai Vishnu and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu.
Third is the material world. When it is time for creation, they will be inhabiting one of the 14 planetary systems. Right? Is this clear? So now is the time for Yaga.
We discussed about the 8th chapter.
8th chapter.
17th verse, Topatra is not at the end of millennium, the year of the...
Which canto?
3rd canto, 8th chapter.
3rd canto, 8th chapter, 17th verse, okay.
Parapat Topatra is this end of millennium, the era of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in the circular lives. So, it is the one day of Brahma's meditation or...
Just hold on, let me go over it. Brahma... okay. Okay.
Question, two question I
have. Okay.
One question is, this is the one day of...
is this at the end of millennium or is it the beginning of Brahmaji's life?
Yes.
This is... This is the... at the end of Brahmaji's life, at the end of Brahmaji's night, when he wakes up at that time. This partial, this is not the
past.
Yeah, this is not the first day of Brahma.
From
Swarga to Patala is recreated. This does not, it's not that every day when he wakes up he forgets how to create. Sometimes he forgets. So one of those days when he forgot is mentioned actually. So it's not that every day Brahmaji forgets how to create after waking up.
Higher planets remain.
Maharjana, Tapa and Satyalokas, they remain for the 311 trillion years, the whole lifespan of Brahma, they are there.
The residents also
are there.
So Brahmaji goes into the body of Garbhodaksha Vishnu.
He goes there to rest, to sleep. His night rest is in the body of Garbhodaksha Vishnu.
But those residents stay in their planets?
They stay in their planets. Except it is mentioned that when the partial dissolution is happening, the fire from the mouth of Anantasesh, it burns everything till Swarga. And Maharloka is immediately above Swarga. Because till Swarga it's burning, blazing, the heat is felt in Maharloka. So for a while they go and stay in Janaloka, and when the fire subsides, they come back to Maharloka. That is mentioned. But otherwise, they stay there.
And when Brahma goes to sleep, and they are still there, do they also sleep or they must
sleep? Yeah, they must also be either doing tapasya or sleeping.
So in this Visarga, you said that the bodies are created.
Yeah.
But in the second canto, Karya Srishti, there it is mentioned that Maya Devi creates the bodies. But it is enlightenment when Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters
it. No. There, Maya Devi creates the body in the sense, Maya Devi provides the ingredients for the bodies. She is the Upadana Karan. Upadana Karan means the material cause. But individual bodies are created by, in one sense, the Prajapatis, Brahma, like that. Okay. So now, Mayeshaha, the Lord of Maya, Karanadagasa Vishnu, Vibhubhushuhu, desiring to become many. So we were discussing that. This generally, whenever such statements come, it invariably refers to the time of creation. It's not making a very absolute, it's not an absolute statement. At some point only the Lord was there, there were no living entities. It's not like that. Vibhubhushu, when he desired to become many, is it shared by his own will? Upadade, he accepts means he always has, but now he utilizes them. He utilizes two of his energies. Kalam, karma, swabhava. Kala is Kala Shakti, the time energy of the Lord. Karma and swabhava are that which belongs to the jiva. So karma is whatever activities he has performed, the results of what he needs to either enjoy or suffer, that is karma. What he deserves is karma. What he desires is his swabhava. Like we saw the other day, any activity performed, one accumulates two kinds of reactions. One is karma, another is swabhava or impressions. So swabhava is the conglomeration of all the impressions that one has accumulated. So basically, what constitutes the glands of Mahavishnu is mentioned here. So, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadhyakshena, under my supervision or surveillance, Prakriti creates the moving and non-moving entities of this world. So, what does that glance constitute is mentioned here. That glance has Kala Shakti and Jiva Shakti. Jiva Shakti along with its karma and swabhava. That's what constitutes the glance of Karana Darasayushi. Okay? So now, he is going to glance at something. What is that something? That something is called Pradhan. Okay. So Pradhan is all the universal ingredients that are needed to create a functioning, fully functioning universe is there in Pradhan. So that Pradhan, when Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, when Karanodakasaya Vishnu breathes out, you know, we say that millions of universes come out of his bodily pores. So those universes are not fully functional universes. Then there is no meaning to the whole creation process. Even though for our understanding purpose, you know, it is shown like a fully functional universe. You know, in pictorial depictions of Karanodakasaya Vishnu lying down, and you, it seems like, you know, there are already living entities in that universe. It's a functional universe. But it's not a functional universe. It's a non-functional universe which has all the ingredients except the jivas. And that aspect, that energy which puts everything into motion, that is the Kala Shakti. So time is not there and the jivas are not there, but the ingredients are there. So that is called Pradhan. So that's what is coming out of the body of Mahavishnu.
Yeah, what is the source of Pradhan? How it comes?
Pradhan is eternal. It's eternally there, either within the body of Mahavishnu or outside the body, depending on whether it is time for creation or dissolution.
And when Vishnu glances over it, so is there a separate Pradhan for separate universes, or this everything is mixed?
This is a little debatable question. Whether it is a single Pradhan which divides itself, or there is only, or if there are individual Pradhans which come out of the body. So, my understanding, based on what I discussed with Chaitanya Charan Prabhu and what I have read, my understanding is that individual Pradhans come out of the body of Mahavishnu. But this time when I went to Calcutta, when we were discussing, one devotee came up with some reference which said otherwise. So I didn't get time to go over that reference. It's there in Brahma Samhita. I would like to go over it. But as of now, you know, my understanding is that individual Pradhans come out of the body of Mahavishnu. And he glances at individual Pradhans. Okay. So then, you all would have discussed this whole chart, right? It's there in Subodhini also. So Karanodakasaya Vishnu glances at Pradhan, and that glance has Kala, Karma and Swabhava. Okay. Okay. Kala, Karma and Swabhava. He glances at Pradhan. So now this Kala Shakti will have some effect on Pradhan, which we will study. And the jivas are impregnated also through the glands. So now the jivas are there, Kala Shakti is there. Pradhan has all the ingredients that are needed for the universal creation. So now, this would transform into Mahat Tattva. So Mahat Tattva is nothing but, you know, I give this example sometimes, you know, during your Saturdays and Sundays, some of you may have different services. Some of you may have services and you may want to, you may have to go to the godown to collect some things. Anyone has such a service? None of you. You all have Subodhini service only. So, you know, there is a godown, you might be aware of. So, from 12 to 2 o'clock it is locked, lunch time. And after 6 o'clock also it is locked. So, pradhan is like the locked godown. All the ingredients are there, but you cannot take anything out and create anything. You cannot take your nails and, you know, screwdriver and various other things, and you cannot construct anything. No creation is possible because the ingredients are locked. So here, pradhan is that kind of locked godown. The ingredients are there, but it is not functional. And the lock is that the gunas are inactive. The three gunas need to get activated. And the activating key is the time factor, Kala Shakti. So, Kala Shakti is what activates the three gunas. So, when the three gunas of pradhan are activated by the Kala Shakti, and when the living entities also are impregnated into that pradhan, then the whole creation process starts. It becomes Mahatattva. Just we will see individual verses. I am just giving a brief overview. Then further instigated by the Kala Shakti, Mahatattva further transforms into Ahankar. Okay? And this Ahankar has three parts. Sattvic Ahankar or false ego in the mode of goodness. Rajas Ahankar or false ego in the mode of passion. And Tamas Ahankar or false ego in the mode of ignorance. Okay? And from Sattvic Ahankar, mind and the sense devatas are created. From the Rajas Ahankar, the Karmendriyas, Jnanendriyas and the intelligence and prana, they are created. And from Tamas Ahankar, the five elements and the and their sense objects are created. Okay.
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, what does the arrow completely mean? Means component of Rajas and Tamas completely transform, Rajas and Sattva completely transform into Tamas and Rajas and Sattva are gone?
Not like that. If Rajas and Sattva are gone, then how would Sattvic Ahankar and Rajas Ahankar manifest? See, it's not that Ahankar is, you see the word predominated. Predominated means predominantly it has Tamas. It also has Sattva and Rajas element. Mahatattva is predominantly Rajas and Sattva. It also has a Tamas element.
But if whole Mahatattva transforms into Ahankar,
it's not like that. Not that the whole Mahatattva transforms into Ahankar.
So, some remains?
Yeah. Some remains. It's not like a literal, you know, the kind of transformation that we see in this material world. When clay is there and clay has been transformed into a pot, there is no clay remaining. Because it has been transformed into a pot. So it is not that kind of a transformation. It is much more subtler than that. So the Mahatattva portion is also there. It's not that after creation Mahatattva vanishes. Okay. Because it is beyond our perception. In material world, any raw material when used to make an end product, the raw material vanishes. That is our experience in this material world. But there are many things which are beyond our experience also. So here, it is not that kind of a creation where when Mahatattva transforms into Ahankar, it's not that Mahatattva vanishes. It's not like that. And then from Sattvic Ahankar, mind is created, since devatas are created. we discussed who are the sense devatas and all. I think I discussed this in the first two classes that I took. The first description of the universal form, I discussed what is the role of the sukshmendriya, the subtle senses, what is the role of sthulendriya, the gross senses, mind, intelligence, right? All of that we discussed. So till here, the ingredients are created, okay? Starting from glancing of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, glancing the pradhan, till the creation of the products of Satvika Ahankara, Rajasa Ahankara and Tamasa Ahankara. Till here is called Karana Srishti. Karana Srishti means creation of the ingredients that are needed for creation. So, just like a cook collects the ingredients, if he wants to make a particular dish, let's say he wants to make upma, so then he will collect the ingredients. Suji is needed, some oil is needed, some vegetables are needed, salt is needed, water is needed, and for some mustard seeds and some chana dal, urad dal is needed. All of that. So, collecting those ingredients, getting the ingredients ready for the cooking is called Karana Srishti. So, here all the ingredients are ready now. Okay. So after the ingredients are ready, each ingredient has a controlling devata, not the predominating devata. Elements, personification of that element is there. They all come together and offer prayers to Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. This is not there in the second canto, this is displayed in the third canto, in this chapter which we are currently discussing. Okay. So they will come and offer prayers to Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, telling, my dear Lord, you have created us for assisting you in creation of this universe, but we all are separate. So, can you please do something, bring us all together so that we can assist you in this creation process. Like that they offer prayers. So then the Supreme Lord understands, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu understands, okay, I need to do something. So in the meantime, what happens when the ingredients are created? Okay, so then the Lord glances at those individual elements and sends an energy which is called Vibrat Shakti or cohesive energy. Elements need to come together. So he sends his Vibrat Shakti or cohesive energy to bind all those elements together. Okay. So then they become a universal globe, golden globe. But it is still not functional because Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu has not entered. So this universal globe is floating in the Karanadaka ocean for 1000 years. But if you don't understand, don't worry, we are going to go over the verses. I am just giving you a brief overview.
These demigods, these representatives of earth,
water,
fire, these are jivas.
These are jivas, yeah.
Who came separately.
Yeah. So they are, we will see in the third canto further, that a natural question that comes is, where did these demigods come from? Because secondary creation has not started. Brahmani has not started creation. The Prajapatis are not there yet. Where did they come from? The answer is, they are directly created by Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. So, they are a part of primary creation. They are not a part of secondary creation. Just these devatas. So, this will be described in the third canto further. When Visarga starts, there will be Prakrita Sarga, Vaikrita Sarga and Mixed Sarga. Three types of Sarga will be described. Prakrita Sarga is primary creation. Within that primary creation, these demigods and these sense devatas, they all fall in that category. They are part of Prakrita Sarga, not Vaikrita Sarga. Vaikrita Sarga is Visarga. Okay. So, then when the elements are bound together in the form of a universal globe, then still the universe is non-functional, but it has taken a particular shape now. So at that point of time, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters that universe, then he fills it with Garbhodaka water, half of it, lies down in that water, and then differentiates the second half into 14 planetary systems. Okay. The second half is filled with elements which are needed for creation, but in just like suji is there, all the elements are there, they are together. It's like you have put suji, water, everything in the kadai, but it, some processing needs to be done to make it into upma. You can't just put it in the kadai and wait. You have to start the fire, you know, you have to stir the upma, and all those things need to be done. So that is done by Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. And the second half of the upper half of the universal egg, then differentiates into the 14 planetary systems. Okay. So then the universe starts functioning. So this is called Karya Srishti. So Karya Srishti means putting all the universal ingredients together and making it into a functional universe. Okay. So this Karana Srishti and Karya Srishti, these are the two parts of primary creation, Sarva, that we would have discussed in the second canto. We are again going over it once more. So if you have not understood it clearly, don't worry. I just gave an overview. Now we are going to go over it verse by verse. Now, kalat gunavyatikarah parinamasvabhavatah karmano janma mahatah purushadishtatabhut. So, he says that kalat gunavyatikarah. What is the role of kala? Because the previous verse spoke about the glance of the Lord. It has kala karma and swabhava. So, kalat gunavyatikarah. In pradhan, the three modes are in an inactive state. So they are activated by the Kala Shakti. So because the three modes are inactive, then creation will not start. They have to be activated. They are activated by the time energy of the Lord. Okay. Then they are further transformed by karma and swabhava, and then what results is Mahatattva. These are. For after pradhan, Pradhan transforms into Mahatattva. Mahatastu vikurvanat rajas sattvopa brahmita tamah pradhanas tovavad dravya jnana kriyatmakah. So, Mahatastu vikurvanat. Then when Mahatattva transforms, further instigated by the glance of the Lord, Mahatattva also further transforms. And this Mahatattva is Rajas Sattvopa Brahmita. It is predominated by Rajas and Sattva. Actually, what is mentioned here as Mahatattva is actually, if you go a little more into detail, it is Mahatattva and Sutra Tattva. There are two things. So, Mahatattva is, see, every universal ingredient has a representation within the individual bodies of living entities. So Mahatattva represents the Chitta, not mind. Mind is different, Chitta is different. Okay. So the heart is the gross organ which houses four subtle organs, antakaranas. One is mind, buddhi, mana, another is buddhi, intelligence. The third is Chitta, which is the organ through which the living entity becomes aware of material stimulus. Awareness of material stimulus is accomplished by Chitta. and then there is false ego. These four are subtle organs or which are called antakarana, which are present in the heart region. Okay. And they have a particular purpose. Each four of them are functionally different. Like that. So, not exactly consciousness, it is awareness. Awareness of material stimulus. Like suddenly, when when you are hungry, you become immediately, if someone opens their lunch box, you immediately become aware of the of some stimulus. You identify it as some smell, someone is going to eat something. So that awareness of that stimulus is due to the presence of chitta. So so basically what is mentioned here in this verse as Mahatattva is a combination of Mahatattva and Sutra Tattva. Okay. So Mahatattva is represented in individual living entity's body as Chitta. And Sutra Tattva is represented as Pran. Just like living entity, the soul is suspended in the prana, the life air. Similarly, the Sutra Tattva is the life air of the universal body. Okay? So that is Sutra Tattva. So that Sutra Tattva is predominantly Rajas and Mahat Tattva is predominantly Sattva. Okay? So here what is mentioned as, here the Mahatattva is said Rajas Sattva Brahmita. Mahatattva is predominated by Rajas and Sattva. Okay? But actually Mahatattva is predominantly Sattva only. So what is mentioned here as Mahatattva is a combination of Mahatattva and Sutra Tattva together. So when by the glance of Karma Dakshaya Vishnu, further this Mahatattva Sutra Tattva combination transforms into Ahankara, which is predominated by Tamas.
Does it transfer the influence of Kala?
Yeah, yeah. So by the glance indicates by the influence of Kala Shakti, influence of time and energy. Okay. So it transforms into Tamas. So this Tamas is composed of Adibhuta, Adhyatma and Adideva, which is just, I will tell you three terminologies, three sets of terminologies, and many times all these three sets of terminologies will be used. Okay. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. This is the first set of terminology. Okay? They all mean the same. Okay? So sometimes Sattva is called Vaikari and Rajas is called Taijasa and Tamas is called Tamasa. Okay? This is another terminology. Okay? Then Adhyatma, Adideva, Adibhuta. Okay? Generally, Adhyatma refers to Rajas, Adidaiva refers to Sattva, and Adibhuta refers to Tamas. Better you write, that's why I am telling you, otherwise there is no point.
Okay.
Telling you, write and keep. Huh? It's there. In Subodhini. So, and the fourth thing.
What is Rajas?
Rajas is Adhyatma and Adibhuta is Tamas and Adidaiva is Sattva. Fourth set of terminology also I will tell. Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Jnana Shakti is Sattva, Kriya Shakti is rajas, and dravya shakti is tamas. So these four sets of terminologies will be used interchangeably. So all of that refers to these three types of ahankara. Okay, now I am going to test you. You can check your notebook and tell. I will find out whether you have written or not. Okay. You tell me. One divine level brain code. Yeah. Okay. I will tell you one word from that set. You have to fill the other two. Okay. Dravya. Dravya Shakti.
Dravya Shakti will come up with. And Jnana Shakti is Satya. Kriya Shakti.
Very good. Okay. Now, Rakesh. Rakesh. Okay. Now, you tell me, Adhyatma is what?
Adhyatma
is Raja. Adhyatma is Sattva. Okay. So then, now, what is Taijasa? Sakasubal.
This is
Rajas. Rajas. And what is Sattva?
Vaikari.
And what is Tamas?
Tamas.
Okay. So these four sets you have to remember. They will be used interchangeably. They mean the same. Okay. So now Ahankara is created, okay? But this created Ahankara is of three types. Sohankara iti prokto vikurvan samabhutrida vaikarikastaijasascha tamasascheti yadvida dravya shakti kriya shakti jnana shakti iti prabho. That Ahankara transforms into three types. Vikurvan samabhutrida. So vikurvan means to transform. It will come in practically every verse. Vikurvana, Vikurvani, like that. So the Ahankara transforms into three types. Vaikarikas, Vaikarikas is Sattva, Taijasas, Rajas, and Tamasas, Tamas. Okay. That which is derived from Sattva, Rajas and Tamas becomes Vaikarikas, Taijasas, and Tamas. Okay. And what are their functions? Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. So Jnana Shakti means that which provides the knowledge of how to utilize the senses. That is done by the sense devatas, who are created by the false ego in mode of goodness. So that is Jnana Shakti. And Kriya, to perform any action, needs more of passion. The Bhagavad Gita says that the symptom of mode of passion is action. Pravrittischa, pravritti. Pravritti is said to be mode of passion. Apravritti, aprakasho, apravrittischa, pramado, mohayevacha. That is mode of ignorance. No pravritti. Enlightenment is the symptom of mode of goodness. So mode of ignorance is aprakasho. Prakasha. Prakasha sarvadvareshu deheshmin prakasha upajayate. Jnanam yadatada vidyat vivrudam sattvamityuta. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So when all the senses become enlightened by getting attracted to the right kind of sense objects, that is characteristic of Sattva. But lack of enlightenment is Tamas. Action is
passion.
Lack of action is Tamas. Then what is Sattva?
Knowledge.
Yeah, correct. But action is there or not for someone in modern world? Enlightened action, that is Sattva. Not that in not that there is. Whereas passion is unenlightened action. You know? What do they say? Sonar ka lohar ka, what is that?
So sonar ka ek lohar ka.
Nahi.
So
ek lohar ka is sattva. So sonar ka is, you know, rajas, you know. Continuous action, most of which may not produce any favorable result. That is mode of passion. And one in sattva will think, deliberate, evaluate and act once, which need not be, you know, repeated. So enlightened action is sattva. Unenlightened, just like that, you know, always acting, that is passion. So that is why dravya shakti, and dravya is tamas. You know, bhumi rako nalo vayu kam, that is for dravya. That is tamas. So that is why dravya shakti is tamas ahankar. Kriya shakti, you need think, you need act, you need to act. For action, you need the senses, karmendriyas and gyanendriyas. And you need buddhi, which controls the gyanendriyas. And you need prana, which controls the karmendriyas. Okay. All of this is needed for action. So that is all created by rajasahankar or false ego in the mode of passion. Clear? Now, transformations of tamas ahankar is going to be discussed now. Tamasadapi bhutadeva vikurvanat abhunnavah tasya matra guna shabdo lingam yadrashtra drishyayoho. So, the order in which the products are produced is the subtlemost is produced first, and then the more and more grosser elements are produced. Okay. What is the subtlest element? Element. Ether. Next.
Air.
Next.
Fire.
Next.
Water.
Earth. Okay. And there, what is the subtlest tanmatra?
Sound.
So tanmatra means sense object. Sound. Then touch. Then
form.
Then
taste.
Then
smell.
Okay. So, and the tanmatra is considered to be subtler than the element itself. Okay. So what would be the first thing to get created?
Sound.
That is why they say, you know, the first thing that is created was sound, okay, amongst the elements. So from sound, what will be created?
Ether.
From ether?
Touch.
From touch?
Air.
From air?
Form.
From form?
Fire.
From fire?
Taste.
From taste?
Water.
From water?
Smell.
From smell?
Earth.
Anyone did not understand this whole sequence?
Sequence is okay, but how this transformation takes place? Like between how one?
So, we practically don't see one transforming into another in this world. How does it happen? Is that the question?
Yes.
That's why these are beyond our perception in this material world. This is beyond our pratyaksha. So, further description is not exactly given. How exactly it transforms into, one transforms into the other, is not mentioned. Just it's mentioned that this transforms into other. How you can get from that? The first thing that is produced is sound. From sound, how you can get some something more gross. It's not exactly mentioned, but it is just mentioned in this way. From the subtle, the more grosser are created. Like that.
Does this sequence have to follow necessarily and directly?
It is mentioned that this sequence is followed. And we are going to read that now. So he says, Tamasadapi Bhutade Vipurvana Abun Nabah. From Tamasa Ahankar, first Shabda is created. From Shabda, the first element, that is ether, is created.
We see in some experiments that sound creates lightning and fire directly.
We see
without air, without touch.
That is why I am telling you, these are beyond our perception in this material world. Like what we see, you cannot just use sound to create anything in one sense. This is creation of the elements as it is handed over to us for functioning within the material universe. So these, many of these aspects of creation which happen before the living entity actually become conscious, as carried out by Karanodakasari Vishnu, is something beyond our perception. We may not have an equivalent for it in this material world, you know, perceivable equivalent. So, I don't think we can exactly correlate in that way. So, okay. So this verse says that how from Tamasankar first sound is created, from sound ether is created. Then, Nabasota vikurvana abhutsparshaguno nidaha paranvayat shabdavamcha prana ojasahobalam. Okay. So from ether, then touch is created, from touch air is created. That's what is mentioned here. And air is the cause of prana, which gives strength to the senses, mind and body. Ojas sahas balam. Ojas means sensual strength. Sahas means mental strength. Balam means physical strength. All of that is controlled by prana. Okay. Vayorapi vikurvana kala karma svabhavatah upapadyata tejovai rupavat sparsha shabdavat. Under the influence of time, karma and swabhava, by transformation of air arose the subtle aspect called form. So from air, form is created, from form, fire is created. Okay. Then, tejasastu vikurvana asit amborasatmakam rupavat sparshavat chambo goshavaccha paranya paranvaya. Then from fire, taste was created. From taste, water was created. Okay? Yeah.
What is the difference between teja and bala?
Teja.
And bala.
Bala is physical strength, whereas ojas sahas balam, three things are there. Ojas. Ojas is sensual strength. Sahas is mental strength and balam is physical strength. Okay. Then from fire arose taste and from taste arose water. Okay. And
in the 27th verse, last time there is touch and sound comes from fire.
27th verse, what it means is that I'll come back to those last lines in the last verse of this section. I will cover these things. You know, how touch and sound. From the transformation of water arose smell and earth. Okay, this is over. And from the transformation of water arose smell, from earth, from smell arose earth. Now, these last lines indicate that each subsequent element has the tanmatra of the previous element also. Like for example, earth is the last element that is created, but earth has the sense of sound, it has the sense of touch, it has a sense of form, it has a sense of taste, and it has a sense of smell. Even though the unique aspect of earth is smell, but nevertheless it has all the other four qualities also. Just like Madhurya Ras contains Vatsalya Ras, Sakya Ras, Dasya Ras and Shanta Ras, all are there. But Vatsalya Ras does not have Madhurya Ras. Vatsalya Ras has only Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya and Shanta. Similarly, Sakya Ras has no Vatsalya and Madhurya, it has Sakya, Dasya and Shanta. And Dasya has no Sakya, no Vatsalya, no Madhurya, it has only Dasya and Shanta. Like that. And Shanta has only Shanta. So, similarly, here earth has all the five sense objects. Like for example, if you take a flute, flute is made of earth. Bamboo has a specific smell also. You can smell the flute and it will have a particular smell. And you blow into it, it will create sound. And if you are holding, while you are blowing, you can, you know, you can touch the flute also, you can experience it as a sense of touch. So smell is there, sound is there, touch is there, what else?
Form.
And yeah, it has some taste also. you may call it tasteless, but it still does have some taste. If you bite it, you will know it is bamboo. Bamboo sabji is there, bamboo achar is made. So tender bamboo, not the ones that is in the flute. That is like a very mature bamboo. Okay. So earth has all the five sense objects. Whereas water has everything except smell. Water has no smell. It has taste. So, rasoham apsakaunteya, Krishna says. And when water flows, there is sound. Okay. And you can see water, so it has a form. And you can touch water and feel. And fire has form, you can see the fire. Fire, when it burns, it gives sound also when it is blazing. And you can definitely feel fire. But it does not have taste. If you try to taste it, then you will, in future, you will never be able to taste again. It will burn your taste buds. But fire itself does not have any taste.
Touch
is there. Touch comes before. Touch is there. Touch is for air. Taste is for water. Water is higher. And it has no smell. Fire has no smell. You have to put some ethyl mercaptan or something to smell that fire. And whatever, you know, you can say, oh, how can you say fire has no smell? You know, from the smell I can tell you, you know, whether it is a wood fire or LPG fire or coal fire. That's the smell of that particular raw material, and it's not the smell of fire. Fire itself does not have any smell or taste. Okay. So then, air. Air has no smell. Air can carry smell. But air itself has no smell. That's why air is called dandavaha, that which carries smell. Vayur Gandha Nivashayat. But air itself does not have smell, the aspect of earth. Air itself does not have a taste, the aspect of water. And air does not have any form, except when air carries some dust along with it. Then you can say, you see the air, there is a blazing tornado. If tornado was only air, then you cannot see it actually. If it carries some dust, or if it moves some leaves and things, then you can see. But air itself you cannot see. So air does not have taste, air does not have form, air does not have smell. But air has a sense of touch, and air has a sense of sound. When air moves, when you blow air into a flute, you can hear. And finally, ether has only sound, nothing else. You cannot see ether, it has no form. You cannot taste ether, it has no taste. You cannot smell ether, it has no smell. You cannot feel ether, it has no sense of touch. But sound you can hear. But that is because of some solid element that is there. It is not just earth element is there mixed with that liquid.
Only I thought from the analogy you said, I thought from higher things, lower things, from Madhurya comes all these things. So it's from sound if it comes all these things, then why sound does not have the property of this?
I didn't say from Madhurya comes all of them. I said Madhurya includes all of them.
Okay, from sound comes air and all these things, heart, pillar, then why sound does
that
not
That is
have
why I am telling this is not in that sense. It cannot be, all of this cannot be. See, any sense of logic is limited by our perception, prior perception. So anything, if we have not perceived it, then it doesn't fit into our logic. You understand? So logic is anuman. But a prerequisite for anuman is prior pratyaksha, previous experience of actually seeing something of that sort. But if there is no purva pratyaksha or prior seeing or experiencing, it doesn't fit our logic. The fact is there are many things that we have not seen and experienced. We can't try to fit those things into our logic. You understand? So like for example, if someone has not is born in, let's say, Siberia, and he has never moved out of Siberia, and because Siberia is such an inaccessible place, no people from other continents come there. So he will think that probably the whole world is populated only with Siberians, those who look like Siberians. So when someone else comes, then he wonders, who is this? Because it doesn't that fit his logic, because his purva pratyaksha does not support. But when he sees a few tourists coming, and then his logic can digest it. That is the point. Okay. So now that is the creation of tamas ahankar. So now creation of sattvika ahankar. Vaikarikan manojagne deva vaikarika dasha digva tarka pracheto shri vakni dropendra mitrakaha. Vaikarikan manojagni. We saw that from sattvika ahankar two things are born. One is mind, another is the sense devatas. We saw each karmendriya and each jnanendriya has a sense devata. Like for example, for the sense of smell, who are the sense devatas? Ashwini Kumaras. For the sense of hearing, Dik Devatas. For the sense of seeing, sight, Surya. And for the sense of touch, Vayu. Or sometimes it is the trees, personified trees. They are the, and for the sense of what is left? Speech. Speech. Agni. For the sense of taste? Varuna. Like that, you know, there are sense devatas for each one of these controls. So they are created from Sattvika Mantra. And the mind is also created from Sattvika Mantra. So because mind is created from Sattvika Ahankar, does not necessarily mean mind is Sattvic. This is my understanding. Because mind takes a particular nature based on the kind of impressions that the living entity accumulates. If the mind is filled with a lot of Sattvaguni impressions, then that mind is Sattvaguni. If the mind is filled with lot of Rajoguni impressions, then that mind is Rajoguni. If the mind is filled with Tamoguni impressions, then it is Tamoguni. Like that. But it is created from Sattvika Ahankara. Okay?
Yeah. Sense devatas are actually persons?
Yeah, they are personalities.
One more, sir. The ether, is it
the same? Ether, is it the same as the word ether is used, but historically, based on modern science, if you see, what is ether? The definition has changed over centuries. You know, who are they? Michels and Morley experiment. And those, if you historically see, what exactly is ether? Science has grappled with this question. It has been grappling with this question since time immemorial, and the definition has changed. So whether it exactly matches the Vedic understanding of Nabha or Ether or sky, does it exactly, or the Sanskrit Nabha, does it perfectly match with the current understanding of Ether or not, I do not know. Okay. Probably not. Because if the current understanding of ether, the various characteristics are mentioned, maybe it will not, those characteristics will not match with the characteristics mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But no problem, that is the current understanding. 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, their understanding of ether will definitely change. They will come up with different characteristics of ether. 20 years down the line, still. So these things will keep on changing. So, we don't, but for lack of a other equivalent word in English, we can't leave all these words in Sanskrit only. Then no one can understand. So, for lack of an equivalent word, the closest word is mentioned, that is sky or ether. But whether it is the same ether what we understand today, probably not.
Ether and vacuum is not the same. Ether and vacuum.
Ether and vacuum is the same, probably not. Space is mentioned, yes. Space. Right.
We say that our body is made up of these five elements.
Yeah.
So sometimes we define that wherever the space is there in our body, like.
That constitutes ether. Yeah, that is. That space is made of ether.
To occupy air.
Yeah. To occupy air or to occupy water or to occupy earth, space is needed. Yeah.
Vaikari, Tejas and Tamas. Tamas, it comes previously.
Yeah.
It comes from Mahatattva or it comes from
Sattva? It comes from Mahatattva, by the transformation of Mahatattva.
So the Sutra Tattva, does the Sutra Tattva transforms into Tejasa or Tejasa?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What is mentioned there as Mahatattva is a combination of Mahat and Sutra both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Sutra Tattva
Pran is attributed to Supratman.
Yeah.
So the mind is attributed to Matta. Is it like that?
Chitta. Chitta is not mind.
Yes, but mind comes from Sattva and Mahatattva.
No, 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 don't map like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. Mind is different, chitta is different.
Chitta is consciousness.
Huh?
Aware consciousness.
Chitta is awareness.
Or meditation.
Suruni
is.
Suruni is.
Oh, yeah. There is a strict translation and there is a generic translation. Many times a generic translation works. But when you want to specifically understand what exactly it is, you cannot use a generic translation. Can you give some examples? Many times a generic usage may do the job, but sometimes a generic usage will not do the job. Can you think of examples?
Like Xerox.
Huh? Xerox.
Xerox. Xerox is the name of the company.
Name of the company. Huh? Can you Xerox this page for me? Actually, you should say, can you photocopy this? You know, the actual process is photocopying, it's not Xeroxing. Xeroxing has no dictionary meaning. But when you say, the other person understands. But of course, these usages are little different, you know. More likely we may misunderstand. But for lack of an equivalent word, mostly if you ask any common person what is the difference between consciousness and awareness, they may not know. It works, you know, consciousness works. But it's not the strictest sense. If you want to properly understand what it is awareness, not exactly consciousness.
So from Mahatattva comes the Vaikari, from Sutra
Tattva. No, it's not explained like that.
Okay.
From this combination, by transformation, comes Sattvika Ahankar, Rajasa Ahankar and Tamasa Ahankar. So whether exactly, one would assume that from the Sattva element, the Sattvika Ahankar is created. From the Rajas element, the Rajas Ahankar is created. And because it says predominant, it means it has some Tamas also. So from the Tamas element, Tamas Ahankar is created. But whether exactly from Mahatattva Sattvika is created, Sutra Tattva Rajas is created, could be. I am not denying that possibility, but it is not explicitly mentioned like that. It could be. So we are trying to, again I am coming to the same point, we are trying to reduce everything to something which fits our logic. But it is not necessarily like that. These are not that kind of creation. There are many aspects which are subtler and beyond our perception.
In our body, if something is occupying any space, and it is taking the position of ether is taking the
space.
So, where is the ether gone? So, suppose in a can we feel mud, then we say there is only earth, there is no ether. Like
no, you can. There will still be some space between the mud particles also.
There is space between molecules also.
There is some internal space. So here in third canto, he says that ether gives the space for the nadis. Like that it is explained. But what exactly is that ether, you know, is still, you know, little difficult to understand. But just that it provides space, that much is mentioned.
We cannot match modern science
here. Yeah.
Two atoms.
No, because modern science has no fixed understanding. The same word historically has had different meanings. So you cannot clearly say which meaning to take. Because before Michelson and Morley's experiment, there was a different understanding of what was ether. After that, there was different. But the current understanding is significantly different from what Michelson and Morley proposed. Hey, some of the initial understanding was ether cannot carry anything I don't exactly remember the exact definitions that they gave, but then, you know, they had, before these experiments were performed, you know, the perception and understanding of ether was different. You know, different, they came up with different definitions. I don't exactly remember what exactly was the definition. But still, the terminology persisted over centuries. So, like I was reading this book, Forbidden Archaeology by Dhrutakarma Prabhu and Sadapur Prabhu, where they talk about various archaeological... So what they actually did is, I'll just briefly mention this. Before actually Darwin proposed the theory of evolution, and before it actually gained a firm foothold in the scientific community, they went back to journal papers, scientific journal papers, which were presented before the Darwin's theory gained a firm foothold. So before it gained a foothold, there were so many presentations of archaeological finds where human beings, here they just concentrate on one species, that is human beings, there were many proofs of human beings' fossils found in a layer of earth which dates back to millions of years before what Darwin proposed. Okay? And somehow, after Darwin's theory gained foothold, there was not a single evidence of, or there was not a single presentation of even a single fossil in any of those kinds of layers. How is it possible? So they went back to journals, and when those scientific figures and when those scientific presentations were made, you know, what do the scientists say in today's day and age? Oh, they didn't have the proper scientific tools to evaluate the age. We don't consider it science. This is what is called apneye perpe kuladima. If this is not a science, if what happened 100 years back is not science, 100 years down the line, what you are doing is not science. So they will say this was not science. So on what basis should I accept your dates that you are presenting? They say that those dates are not reliable because at that time they didn't have a proper way of measuring ages. If you accept it that way, then 100 years down the line, how can you be sure? History of science is filled. If you want to see what has contradicted science maximum, it's not religion, it's science itself. If you look at the history of science, science has maximum contradicted science. Every theory comes and it vanishes. So, that's the point.
You mentioned a heart is a store, mind, intelligence, chitta and possible.
Yeah. The soul is mentioned to be in the region of heart, but it is suspended in the prana. Like
prana is just a
air. Yeah. It's not just air, but it's some kind of a special air. It's not normal air. Vaidyanatha Prabhu was mentioning in one of the classes that this prana is not normal air. It is a special kind of air. But what exactly is special about it? It's a very subtle thing. We do not know.
Kaal is inducing all these changes. The karma and swabhava and the jiva are latent as of now. They are not
even... No, they are also playing a role. But what exact role they are playing is not clear. All that the verse mentions is Kalat Gunavyatikaraha Parinamat Swabhavatah. It says Pradhan is further transformed by Swabhava and Karma. But how exactly it transforms is not mentioned. But there is some transformation that is brought about by the Karma and Swabhava of the living entity. But the exact details are not given. Okay, so that's about the, so now we have seen transformations of the Sattvic Ahankar and transformations of the Tamas Ahankar. So now, transformations of the Rajas Ahankar is what we are going to see now. Taija Sattvi Kurvanan Indriyani Dasha Bhavan Jnana Shakti Kriya Shaktir Buddhi Pranascha Taijasau Shrotram Tvagran Divjitva Vagdor Medrangripayavaha. So basically, this talks about the five Karmendriyas, five Jnanendriyas, Prana and Buddhi. These are created by the Rajas Ahankar. So, if you see, the five Karmendriyas are controlled by Prana. If your Prana is weak, let's say whatever you are eating, sometimes you go to a Ayurvedic doctor and say, Prabhuji, both, I am feeling very weak. I am not having sufficient strength to lift things, walk. So he checks your nadi and he says, Prabhuji, your prana is very weak. Your prana is very weak. So when the prana is weak, generally prana is controlled by apana. Apana means the air which controls your excretion. So when your excretory system is not properly working, which means your apana is not functioning properly, and apana controls prana. Okay, so then whatever you are eating is not sticking to your body, and the karmendriyas are affected immediately. You can't walk long distance. Or Gaurangdarshan Prabhu, many have this issue. Like if he comes walking up, then he becomes completely exhausted. But he can sit and speak. If he speaks also, he becomes tired, because speech is again karmendriya. But he can hear, he can see. Those are all jnanendriyas. Jnanendriyas still function when prana is weak. But karmendriyas, their functioning is severely hampered when prana becomes weak. You can't walk, you can't lift, you can't speak for a long time, because all these karmendriyas are controlled by prana. Whereas jnanendriyas are controlled by buddhi. Okay. That's why if you see, a very small child with underdeveloped intelligence, it does not have any proper discrimination of what to eat, what to smell, what to see, nothing. It passes stool, sits on that stool, touches that stool, sometimes puts it into his mouth. Whatever it finds, it will put into the mouth. You would be wondering, what's wrong with this baby, you know? Why doesn't this baby pick up something tasty and put in his mouth? What is so tasty about his tongue? So we will be wondering. But the baby cannot discriminate. Because when the buddhi is weak, then the functions of the jnanendriyas become weak. So, for proper action, you need both the karmendriyas and jnanendriyas, and that which empowers the karmendriyas and jnanendriyas, which is buddhi and prana. So, buddhi, prana, karmendriyas and jnanendriyas. These 12 items are created from Rajas Ahankar. Then, so now, Karana Srishti is over. Okay. The elements that are needed, the ingredients that are needed for universal creation are ready. Now, the cook has to start putting them together and start cooking so that a final upma can be created. So using those ingredients to create a functioning, fully functional universe, that is called Karya Srishti, which is the second part of primary creation. Okay. So that Karya Srishti is going to start from this 32nd verse on. Yadaite asangata bhava bhutendriya mano gunaha yadayatana nirmane nashekur brahma vittama tadasamhatya chanyoyam bhagavat shakti chodita sadasattvam upadaya chobayam sasrujyata. Yada, when ete, these means these elements which have been created. What are the elements? Mahatattva, Ahankar, mind, sense devatas, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas,
intelligence,
prana, the five elements, five tanmatras, all of them are needed for creation of the universe. Yada ete, when these elements, asangata bhava, sangha means to come together. Asangata means in a state of separation. Asangata bhava, when they are in a state of separation, bhuta indriya mano guna, the grass elements, senses and minds, when they were in a state of separation, ayatana nirmane na shekuhu. Ayatana nirmane means creation of this universe, na shekuhu, is not possible. O Brahma Vittama, O best of the Brahmanas, this is Brahmaji addressing Narada Muni. That's why he's saying Brahma Vittama. Yada ete asangata bhava ayatana nirmane na shekuhu. When these elements are in a separated state, creation cannot happen. So what happens? At this time, all these personified elements go and offer prayers. That's what we are going to see in the third canto. So this elements offering prayers is not mentioned in the second canto. That we will see in the third canto now. So at that time they go and offer prayers. So what does the Supreme Lord do? Tada samhatya cha anyonyam. Anyonyam means again bringing them together. So the Supreme Lord then brings all these elements together. How? Bhagavat Shakti Chodita, by his energy, which is called Bhibrat Shakti, or sometimes it is called Kali. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Sometimes it is called, or in English, it is mentioned as cohesive energy. So, by that cohesive energy, he brings all the elements together. Tada samhatya chanyonyam bhagavat shakti chodita. Okay? And then it becomes a universal globe. Okay? It's still not functional. All the elements are together. You have put all the ingredients in the kadai. Okay?
Your individual bodies is mentioned.
Yeah, but it's eventually, not immediately. Certain things are mentioned, then sometimes two things may be mentioned in the same sentence, the same breath, but one indicates immediate, one indicates eventual. So he says, like, you may say that, oh, my mother, you know, gave birth and took care and made me into a fine adult. So it is like gave birth and eventually made you into, you know, a fine adult. So that's, you know, in that sense. So individual bodies is eventual, not immediate. So one of the questions that Narada Muni asks to Brahmaji is, does this primary creation and secondary creation happen simultaneously, or yugapat kramasho piva, he says. Is it yugapat simultaneously, or kramasho piva, or is it sequentially? How does it happen? Creation of the universe is primary creation. It happens first. Creation of the bodies, individual bodies, is secondary creation. happens later. So even though Sat Asatvam Upadaya, the primary and secondary are the primary and secondary forms is mentioned, but it is primary immediately and secondary subsequently when Brahmaji and other Prajapati is there.
Primary elements are
eternal or
primary elements are?
They are eternal, but their manifestation is temporary. So if you see, of the five things, five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, Kala, Karma, Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti, of the five, four are eternal, one is temporary. Which one is temporary? Karma is temporary. Prakriti is eternal. Its manifestation is temporary. Okay. So,
yeah.
Hiranyagarbha is not the globe. Okay. What is Hiranyagarbha? Okay. This is another question. Okay, if you see Hiranyagarbha, it has three or four different usages, and every usage has a context to it. Because we are, you ask this question at the right time, okay? So we will understand what this Hiranyagarbha is. Just like in a individual body, you have a gross body, you have a subtle body, you have a soul. Anything else is left over? You have a super soul. Four things are there. Okay? So, you have a gross body which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Okay? Similarly, the universe also has a gross body which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. It is called Vairaja or Virat Purusha. Okay? Second, we have a subtle body which is made up of mind, intelligence and false ego and chitta and all these things. Similarly, the universal form also has a subtle body which is made of the same elements. Now, the individual body has a soul. What is the soul of the universal body? It is the conglomerate of all the living entities of that particular universe. Okay? That is called Hiranyagarbha. That is one usage of Hiranyagarbha. Sometimes, Garbhodara Sai Vishnu is addressed as Hiranyagarbha. Okay? Because he is the controller of that universe. That is why. So, when I am calling someone, let's say Premanjan Prabhu, I am actually addressing his soul, even though I may be pointing to his body. If that soul is not there, Premanjan, I will not be calling, Premanjan Prabhu, please come here. So sometimes the word Hiranyagarbha is used to address Garbhodara Sai Vishnu because he is the controller of the universe. Sometimes the word Hiranyagarbha is used to address Brahmaji. Okay? Because Brahmaji is also the control, secondary controller of that universe. But in other context, the word Hiranyagarbha means conglomerate of all the souls of that particular universe. That is what is called Hiranyagarbha. Okay? And just like we have a super soul, which is Shivananda Sai Vishnu. Who is the super soul of the universe? Garbhodara Sai Vishnu. So there is an equivalent. Any aspect of an individual soul's body, including the soul, has an equivalent in the universal body. If the gross body as Bhumi Raponalova will come, and the collection of all the earth, water, fire and ether elements of the particular universe constitute the gross body of that universe. Our subtle body is made of the subtle elements, but a collection of all the subtle elements constitutes the subtle body of that particular universe. And we have one soul. Yeah, we may say we have many souls, but we have only one soul which controls this body. And if, when that soul leaves, still there are many souls within our body, but that cannot animate this particular body. So we have, in that sense, we have one soul, whereas the universe has all the souls of the particular universe are imagined to be a particular conglomerate which is called Hiranyagarbha. And the therefore the word, the same word Hiranyagarbha, at different, under different context, refers to different personalities. So in this context it refers to the conglomerate of all the living entities of that particular universe. Sometimes it is used to address address Brahmaji, sometimes it is used to address the Bodhisattva.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
What is the meaning? Why is the word called Hiranyagarbha? What is the meaning of Hiranyagarbha?
Hiranya is the universe.
What the name is Hiranya? Hiranya is gold.
But,
Hiranya means gold.
Hiranya is gold. The universe looks like a, the next verse talks about it. You see? Varshapuga sahasrante tadantat antam udakeshayam kala karma swabhavasto jivo ajivam ajivayam. So when the, when all the elements are come together, they become a golden globe which is called Hiranya. The third canto is addressed as, or in the second canto, 10th chapter only, it is addressed as Hiranya. It's a golden complexion. And what is it? The garbha is the soul. That is why Hiranya is the universe and Hiranyagarbha is the living entities who are present in that particular universe.
What is the, you said, subtle body is the Virat Purush, subtle body is Virat Purush.
Yeah, just like we have a subtle body, the Virat Purush also has a subtle body. What is it called? So, I'm not very sure if it has a specific name. It's just like you have a subtle body, it has a purpose. See? Of course, we understand that there is nothing called conglomerate of all the living entities. There is nothing called a personality who is having, you know, a patala as his feet, and you know, and there is nothing called all the subtle elements forming the subtle body of this particular person. It's all imagination. But this imagination is a, it has a purpose and it serves that purpose. Just like, not all imagination is useless. There is lot of imagination which are useful. For example, you have Google Maps. Google Maps is an imagination only. Just because it is showing you Australia, you are not in Australia. Just because it is showing you Amarapur, you are not in Amarapur. But looking at that Google Map, which is an imagination, you can actually reach the actual destination. So there are lot of imagination which have utility in this material world also. So similarly, this Virat Roop meditation is an imagination, but it has a very significant utility in one's, in the spiritual progress of some class of people.
So it is temporary.
Which one? So when it is an imagination, whether it is temporary or eternal, next. You can say, is this universe eternal? No. Its manifestation is not eternal. But the ingredients which constitute the universe are eternal. That's the point. Okay. Anyway, when Karmadaka Sai Vishnu sends this Bibrat Shakti, to bind all the universal elements. They come together and they form a golden globe. And that golden globe is floating on the Karmodaka ocean. That's what is mentioned here. Varsha Puga Sahasranke Tadandam Udake Shayam Kala Karma Subhavasto Jivo Ajivam Ajivayat. After 1,000 years, the Lord situated in time, karma and swabhava brought to life the non-living universe which was lying in the water. The water here is Karmodaka ocean. It's floating there. So for 1,000 years, this egg floats in that water. Then the Supreme Lord, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, who is an expansion of Karmodaka Sai Vishnu, he enters individual universes and he sees, oh, I don't have a place to stay here, where do I stay? So he, from his sweat, he fills the lower half of the universe. You can try to calculate the volume of Garbhodaka water. Okay, the hemisphere, the diameter of the hemisphere is 4 billion miles. Radius is 2 billion miles. Okay, 2 by 3 pi d pi r cube. You know, hemisphere 2 by 3 pi r cube, that is the volume of Garbhodaka ocean. So he fills it and then he lies down there, and then the upper half he differentiates it into 14 planetary systems. How exactly he does is not mentioned, but he does. So after he enters, even though the living entities are present within that universe, still the universe is not functional. Only when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters that universe, the universe starts becoming functional. So after Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu creates these 14 planetary systems, then Brahmaji is created, then Brahmaji further starts performing the secondary creation.
Here it is 1,000 years, which
years,
earthly years.
Whenever the word years, varsha, is used, because it is a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, it has to be understood to mean human years. Otherwise, divyam sahasraptam, Brahmaji's meditation is mentioned. The second canto, 9th chapter. Divyam Sahasraptam, 1,000 celestial years. So, when it is not, when the word year is used or varsha is used, it refers to earthly years, human years. Human years, we can say, whether an ant has the same perception of a year or not, we do not know.
Brahman's life is 100 years. How can
he
Sahasra Divya Varsha?
That's what I'm telling. 100 human, Brahma's lifetime is not 100 human years, no?
100 Divya years.
It's not even 100 Divya years. Divya is celestial. He has 100 Brahma years. So, this 1,000 years is Brahmaji's. You can say probably something like a nanosecond in Brahmaji's time scale. Definitely less than a second.
So, this Hiranyagarbha, that is broken, the jivas are inside.
See, don't use the terminology Hiranyagarbha, because then you have to explain in what context you are using. So, you are using the word Hiranyagarbha to indicate the universe. Universal
elements,
the jivas.
Agglomeration.
Oh, you are mentioning about it. Okay. So, in the universe that is floating, there is the Hiranyagarbha, conglomerate of the universe, which are still there within that universe. Yeah.
Then when Karmadakrishna comes, he is bringing.
He is not bringing the jivas with him. The jivas have already been impregnated in the universe. But they are still in a sleeping state because they don't have a subtle body and a gross body to function. That's the point. Yeah.
How are the jivas already present?
Glance. Mahavishnu's glance.
But we also read that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu brings the Vishwarup and the Hiranyakarna.
Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters the pre-existing universal globe. It's an undifferentiated, unprocessed raw materials are there. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters, the living entities are already there in that universe. The raw materials are already there. He just processes them and manifests it into 14 planetary systems. He doesn't bring the jivas. Jivas are already been impregnated by Karanadakshaya Vishnu. They are inside the body of Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Yet this is after the Mahapralaya. So all the living entities are inside the body of Karanadakshaya Vishnu. So by the glance he impregnates.
So what is the role of Maya Devi and Shiva is depicted in that picture?
Okay, the role of Maya Devi, we will see. Maya Devi has three functions. One is called Pradhan, which she provides all the ingredients that are needed for the living entity to identify with gross and subtle. Second is Maya Devi has the second aspect, which is called Vidya, and the third is Avidya. So, the avidya potency of Maya makes the living entity identify with the gross body and subtle body. Sometimes we identify with our gross body, sometimes we identify with our subtle body, sometimes we identify with our mind, sometimes we identify with our intelligence. So, the avidya potency creates the wrong identification. Pradhan creates all those ingredients that we can wrongly identify with. If the gross body is not there, subtle body is not there, we cannot have a wrong identification because we have nothing to identify with. So those ingredients are created by Pradhan. The wrong identification is created by avidya potency, and vidya potency rectifies that improper identification. Okay. So these are the three components of Maya.
What is done in those thousand years?
It's not mentioned. It's just floating there. What exactly happens in those thousand years? It's just mentioned that it is inactive. Ajivam. Ajivam means lifeless. Jivo, ajivam, ajivaya. Jivaha, the living entity. The living entity mentioned here is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He enters and ajivam, ajivaya. He brings the lifeless universe back to life, ajivaya. So that happens here. So now, when he gives that life, how does that universe which has received that life from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, how does it manifest? That is where the second description of the universal form comes in the 5th chapter of 2nd canto. Saeva Purushastasmad Andam Nirvitya Nirgataha Sahasror Vangri Bahvaksha Sahasrana Shirshavan. When Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters this universe and differentiates this universe into 14 planetary systems, then the Purusha manifests with thousands of hands, thousands of eyes, thousands of heads, thousands of legs, as mentioned in the Purusha Sutta. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapad, Samuvin Vishvato Vritva Adyatishtat Dashangulam. So that which the Purusha Sutta describes as the Purusha, but Purusha Sutta itself does not say who that Purusha is. So that's why some people, in the Shiva temple also Purusha Sutta prayers are played and sung. In Vishnu temples also, Purushutta prayer is chanted. But Purushutta itself does not exactly clarify who that Purusha is, who has thousand heads, thousand hands, thousand feet, like that. But Bhagavatam starts by mentioning who that Purusha is. Sa eva Purushaha, that very same Purusha is the one who manifests this universe, universal form with thousand hands, thousand legs. So Sa eva Purusha represents which Purusha? So at the outset only Bhagavatam says who that Purusha is, and then describes the whole Purusha Sukta. That is why the sixth chapter is called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Whatever is mentioned in Purusha Sukta is confirmed. Purusha Sukta is Shruti. Shankaracharya established absolute importance only for the Shrutis. Only Shrutis are important, Smritis are later things. They don't have any locus standi, as Prabhupada says. They don't have any. It cannot be accepted as a Pramana. Only Shrutis are Pramana. And even within Shruti, he chose 10 Upanishads and Brahma Sutra. Only they are Pramanas. Brahma Sutra is Nyaya and Shruti is 10 Upanishads he decided. So because he was the first commentator, so then the later Vaishnavacharyas, you know, they had to comply. Okay, because you set the rules, we will have to establish our philosophy based on your rules. So they used the same 10 Upanishads to establish Vishishtadvaita, Ramanujacharya established Shuddhadvaita by Madhvacharya and so on. All of them, in establishing their philosophy, they use only those 10 Upanishads. Aitareya, Taitareya, Mundaka, Mandokya, Shvetashvatara, like that, you know, 10 Upanishads are there, which Shankaracharya accepted. So based on Vedanta Sutra and these 10 Upanishads, they established their philosophy. But after doing that, for their internal nourishment, all the Vaishnavas relied only on Smritis, predominantly, because Smritis are so direct, common man can understand and relish. Okay. But because Shankaracharya established, gave so much prominence only to Shruti and absolutely relegated the Smritis to have no basis, or he relegated them as non-pramanas. So therefore what the Vaishnavacharyas did, they had to establish the supremacy of their own philosophy based on the same pramana accepted by Shankaracharya. But later, using the Smritis, they showed that see, there is concurrence between Shruti and Smriti. Whatever the Shruti says, the Smritis also say the same thing. Because now they have established their philosophy based on Shruti. So now they establish the validity of the Smritis based on that understanding that they have established. And because Purusha Sukta comes in Rig Veda, which is considered to be the most, the original Veda, which was subsequently divided into four by Vyasadeva. So Rig Veda, in Rig Veda, the most famous and important Sukta or prayers are the Purusha Sukta prayers. So now when you establish that this Purusha Sukta prayers are there in Smriti also, it gives a great amount of validation to establish the position of the Smritis. So that is why Purusha Sukta confirmed. But for us it makes no difference whether it is Shruti or Smriti. We have not read both anyway. So whatever, we don't know the difference also. You know, what is Shruti, what is Smriti. So whatever Prabhupada says, we accept. But in the traditional Vedic system, there was a great emphasis on Shrutis. So anything less than these Upanishads, when you quote, it is not accepted at all. And even within Upanishads, anything beyond this 10, if you quote, is it? What? Gopal Tamani? What is that? And they won't accept. Those kind of Upanishads don't exist for that. So, Mahanarayan Upanishad, it exists only for the Sri Vaishnavites and Madhvaites. For the Shankarites, it does not exist. Gopal Tapani does not exist for them. Brahma Samhita, even the Madhvaites will ask, oh, what is this Brahma Samhita? They may not agree. So, that's what, that's the point.
You said before that demigods, they are part of Sarga, not part of Sarga.
Not all demigods, the sense devatas and the personified elements, they are part of the primary creation.
And they come before Brahma?
Yeah, they come before Brahma.
And Mayadevi is also part of the
Mayadevi? Mayadevi is an energy.
She's person.
The personification of Mayadevi is Durga Devi.
Parvati and
Uma,
and Shiva comes
in
from the eyes of
Shiva. Shiva is eternal. That creation is there. It should be understood just like Krishna is born out of the womb of Devaki.
Shiva marries Parvati.
Krishna marries Rukmini. There or not?
But Parvati came before Shiva.
That's just, that's again we are using our own material logic and all of that. We have to just park it for a while and understand that there are certain things which are beyond our perception. Our moral rules and our things, we cannot exactly use it in that sense. And there is also some description of how Krishna killed the demon Panchajana and got his Panchajanya conscience. So then you will ask, oh, before that he didn't have that conscience. It's not like that. When in Bhauma Leela such pastimes are there, but eternally there it's this eternal associate. Shankha, Chakra, Kaustubha Mani, all of them are Shri Vatsa Marga, all is eternal paraphernalia. They are not called.
Universal form, this is
subtle
body, because it is different from
Virat. It is the same as Virat.
So, recently Madhav Upal Guru came in class, he was explaining that Virat Rupa and this Sahasra Sesha Purusha. So, he was telling that there is actually a person with 1000 hands, and the Virat Rupa is like a gross body of that Sahasra Sesha.
Oh,
body.
Okay, so as I mentioned, sometimes, is there actually a personality who has thousands of hands, thousands of feet? There is no personality like that. Okay, but sometimes, Karmadakasaya Vishnu is also addressed as Sahasra Sirsha Purusha. And Karmadakasaya Vishnu is not an imagination, it is a real personality. But he is addressed in that way for a specific reason. Because he is the source of unlimited avatars. In that sense, he is also called Sahasra Sirsha Purusha. So, he does not literally have 1000 heads, 1000 hands like that.
This is also imagination.
Which one?
Sahasra
Sirsha. Oh, this is an imagination. That's what in the next few verses, that's what the very next verse says, it's an imagination. You see? Yasyeha vayavair lokan kalpayanti manishinaha katyadavir adasapta saptordvam jaganadevi. Kalpayanti means imagine. Within the universe, the wise imagine the planets as his limbs. There is no actual personality who possesses the Atala, Vitala, Sutala planets as his limbs. It's an imagination. And every single verse from now will use the word kalpayanti, kalpayanti, kalpana, indicating it's an imagination.
So,
Karmadaksha Vishnu is also called Sahasra Jivrusha Purushaha because he is the source of unlimited avatars in that sense. For the same reason, sometimes Garbhodaksha Vishnu is also called Sahasra Jivrusha Purushaha. For that reason. And also, he is called Sahasra Jivrusha Purushaha because he is the Virat Purusha is a direct expansion of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. For that reason, he is also called. Okay. So that's the description of then from there this universal form is manifest. Okay. This is in brief description of what we saw in the second canto of chapter. Okay. So now we will see how the same things are going to come in the third canto also. Again I will be very brief and I will move over. I may not go in detail.
Okay.
Yeah. It's there. It's an expansion. Yeah. See, again we should give up this material understanding of always this one obstacle which will come is if clay has become pot, then there is no clay. That mentality we have to give up because in, you know, Garbhodaksha Vishnu is the material cause of this universe, but he is not the material cause like the clay. When clay becomes pot, clay is lost. But when Garbhodaksha Vishnu becomes this universe, Garbhodaksha Vishnu is not lost. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. You don't have anything in this material world that matches with this statement. Is there anything in this material world where you remove the complete from that and that complete remains?
Something like fire,
okay, but it just starts that fire element which is already there in that wood. It just activates the fire element which is already there in that wood. Otherwise, if that fire touches water, will the water catch fire? No. If that fire touches air, will the air catch fire? No. Only when a wood touches that fire, it catches fire. That existing fire just instigates the fire element in that wood. But that wood itself has that fire element, that's what burns. Otherwise, the fire, just when it touches, it will not burn. If that element does not have the fire element. So, what burns is not this fire. What burns is the fire which is already there in this wood. Okay. Okay. So, now we will start the third canto of chapter where we left off. And we will see the parallel, you know, same thing that we saw there. We will take a short 5-minute break and then we will coming back. It's 11:40 now, 11:45 we will come back. Not clear, you can get it clarified. Whatever I know, I will share with you. Only thing is, I will not have time to get into details of the purport because it's the same repetition as we saw in the second canto. But other than that, if there is any questions, we can definitely take the questions. अथ ते भगवद्गीता योगमायोरुब्रह्मिताः विश्वस्तिर्युक्तवर्णयामेनपूर्वशः. The context of this statement is Uddhava has now, sorry, Vidura has just now met Maitreya few verses back. They exchange pleasantries, glorify each other and then Mithuna starts asking questions to Maitreya. Initially, even though he asked basic questions like Sukhaya Karmani Karoti Loko Antai Sukhamanya Duparamamba. After asking this question, later he asks about creation. How is the primary creation carried out? How the secondary creation is carried out? In response to that, Maitreya is now going to start describing the primary creation. And this description is the same as what we saw in the second canto now. Okay. Now he says, Te Varanayami Bhagavad Leela. My dear Mitra, I will now describe to you the pastimes of the Lord. Which pastimes? Vishwa Stiti Udbhava Anta Artha. Those pastimes of creation, maintenance and description. Yoga Mayor Brahmitaha, which is nourished by his energy of Maya. The word Yoga Maya is used because ultimately the source of Mahamaya is also Yoga Maya. Anupurvasha, in sequence I will answer this question. Okay. Now, if you remember how the second canto of 5th chapter started, the one Lord desired to become many. This is the first verse of the 3rd canto description of creation. You see what he says. Bhagavan eka asedam agra atma atmanam vibhu atme cha anugata vatma nana matyupalakshanaha. Bhagavan, who is upalakshanaha, who is perceived as atmanam atma, the atma of the atma, which is paramatma, and vibhu, Brahman, nana mati, according to people with different qualifications. The jnanis perceive the absolute truth as Brahman, the yogis as Paramatma, and the bhaktas as Bhagavan. But it's the same tattva. Advaya jnana. Vadastita tattva vidas tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Brahmyati paramatma iti Bhagavan iti shakti. Eka asa idam agre. Only he existed before the creation of the universe. What does it mean? Atma Icha, when the desire to create the bodies of the Jivas was absent. Which means, it is a time of dissolution. Dissolution has happened. There is no creation yet. So before that, only one person was there. That was Karmaduka Sai Vishnu. Why? Because all other Jivatmas were inside his body. Not that they were yet to be created. They were yet to manifest from inside his body. That's what this verse talks about. Okay. So here Sri Vishnu Jagadagur comments. Some comments I will read from purport and explanation just to make that point clear. In order to describe creation, the prior state is first described. So, the context is set. This statement has to be understood in the context of creation only, not in an absolute sense. Okay. Bhagavan alone existed. This means that the Lord is the Adhishthana Karan, or the basis of everything. And all the energies which existed at that time are considered the effect. Okay. Before creation, for how long? For how long was he alone? For how long was he alone? Since the time of destruction. Whenever pralaya happened, from that time till now, when it is time for the creation, for that time. That time gap is close to about 311 trillion years.
So specific.
You asked a specific question. Is assuming that the inhalation and exhalation time is the same for Mahavishnu. So when he exhales, the universes come out and Brahmaji stays there managing that universal affairs for 311 trillion years. And after that, it goes in. If his inhalation and exhalation are equispaced, then for around that time it must be inside the body. Okay. Sava eshata dadrashta napashya drishya mekarat mene santam divatmanam supta shakti asupta drik. Saha, that one purusha, drishyam drashta. Drishyam is that which is meant to be glanced, which is prakriti. Drashta is the one who glances, which is Mahavishnu. That one purusha who glances over prakriti, tada, at the time of creation, na apashyat, he could not see her. Her means maya shakti. Ekarat, the ekarat, the possessor of that maya, supta shakti, who was sleeping, because it was not time for creation yet. Even though asupta drik, supreme lord's one energy is maya. He has many other energies. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. When it is time for dissolution, maya shakti is sleeping. But all other shaktis are awake and they can give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. But that one consort whom he wants to enjoy at this point of time, because it is time for creation, she was sleeping. So there was no way he can get pleasure from that one consort of Maya Devi. Okay? Mene Atmanam Asantam Iva. So therefore, the Lord considered himself non-existent without her. It doesn't say the Lord was non-existent. It says the Lord considered in a feeling of separation, just like the beloved thinks himself non-existent, or he thinks himself his life is not worth living when the consort is not there. So in that sense, the Lord felt incomplete. Even though he is not incomplete, but in a sense he was considering himself incomplete because it was a time for creation, which means that it was a time for him to enact pastimes with Maya Devi. And she was sleeping. Okay. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions here, the Purusha is certainly the glancer over Prakriti. At the beginning of creation, he did not see what should be glanced on for creation. The Pradhan was not there. It had not manifested out of his body yet. He considered himself as if not existing. What does it mean? This is a poetic convention. Like the householder feels non-existent without a wife. It's a poetic convention. It's not literal. This can also refer to the collective jivas who existed only in the subtle form within himself and would later become visible. So, drishyam can refer to pradhan, or here he says drishyam could also refer to the individual jivas who are also present within the body of Mahavishnu. Though they existed, he considered them non-existent at that time because they had not manifested. The glancing over Prakriti, with glancing over Prakriti, it was impossible for the Lord to manifest the words without glancing. So he says that a sleeping lover cannot be enjoyed. But so that is what is indicated by Supta Shakti, because she was sleeping. But asupta drik, but he had many such consorts like Lakshmi who were awake and willing to give the Lord enjoyment like that. However, for creating the universe, the Lord at that time needed the external energy only, Maya Shakti. Even though she is inferior, Maya Shakti is inferior. One may say, oh, the Lord has many external, many superior energies to give him enjoyment. Why is he expecting that enjoyment from an inferior energy? Because certain aspect, certain things can be performed only by Maya Shakti, like creation, like that. Sava etasya samdrashtu shaktis sadasadatmika Maya nama Mahabhaga yedam nirmame vibhu. O great soul Mahabhaga, the energy composed of the cause and effect which belongs to the glancing Lord is called Maya. By this energy the Lord creates this universe. Okay, that's the pradhan. Kala vritya tu maya yam gunam yamadokshaja purushena atmabhutena viryam adatta viryamam. Now pradhan has come out. Now he is going to glance and impregnate that pradhan. What is that? What constitutes that glance?
Kala,
karma and svabhava. Or kala shakti and jiva shakti. By mention of karma and svabhava, it means jiva. Because jiva, karma and svabhava belongs to the jiva only. Okay. Adokshagaha, the Lord of Mahavaikuntha, Atma Bhutena Purushena. Through that Purusha, who is his expansion, which is Karmadaka Sai Vishnu. Viryavan, he is fully potent to carry out that act of creation. Kala Vritya, at a particular point of time, Viryam Adatta Mayayam. Viryam is the living entities. Adatta, he impregnated or placed Mayayam, Pradhan. He placed the Jivas into Maya. Maya here refers to Pradhan. Gunamayam, which became agitated by the Gunas. Okay? Because of the Kala Shakti. Kala Gunam Vyadikara. Parinamat Swabhavata. We saw in the second canto. Same thing. The Lord by His glance is impregnating the Pradhan with the living entities. And through the Kala Shakti, the Gunas get agitated. And now, the whole creation is, it gets rolling. Started.
Lord launched Maya Shakti, so where is Shiva in the picture? Aditya Vishnu also Maya Shakti is concerned about Shiva. So
that's a secondary attribution.
Oh.
Primarily everything is a belongs to the Supreme Lord. But secondarily, it is attributed to Lord Shiva. Like when Brahmaji, after the Daksha episode, when they go and to appease Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma says that you are the creator. Secondarily, some aspects of creation or at least destruction is carried out by Lord Shiva. But when it comes to creation, some personality called Shambhu is involved. Okay. The glancer is sometimes called Shambhu. One who is glancing at Maya is called Shambhu. But that Shambhu is not exactly Shiva. That Shambhu is Karmadaka Sai Vishnu only. That is how in Laghu Bhagavatam that Sri Rupa Goswami explains.
So what is the Shambhu in
Bhagavatam? Vaishnavananda has Shambhu. That Shambhu is Lord Shiva. That is it. That Shambhu is Lord Shiva. So the word Shambhu in the context of primary creation refers to Karmadaka Sai Vishnu only. Because there is this misunderstanding, elaborately Rupa Goswami describes this in Laghu Bhagavatam. He says, why he is called Shambhu? He says, what is the problem? Sham means auspiciousness. Shambhu means one who bestows auspiciousness. Lord Vishnu is the best bestower of auspiciousness. Therefore, he is called Shambhu. So then he says, oh no, no, not just that. He is also called Neelakanta. In those descriptions which describe the glancer, the one who glances at Prakriti, he is called Shambhu. He is called Neelakanta, he is called Trinayana. Rupa Goswami says, because he quotes many other proofs to establish that is Karmadaka Sai Vishnu only. So then, once we will go through it, only three doubts remain. Why is called Shambhu, why is called Trinayana, and why is called Neelakanta? So he explains Rupa Goswami. He is called Shambhu because he bestows auspiciousness. He is called Neelakanta because he has the Kaustubhamani on his neck. And he is called Trinayana because he knows the past, present and future. That's how he is explained. Because there are so many things that he quotes to establish that it is not Lord Shiva who glances, it is Lord Vishnu only, Mahavishnu. Because the whole confusion comes because the word Shambhu is used. And Laghu Bhagavata Amrita, he clarifies this.
What is the reference for telling that we tell the glance of Lord Vishnu is Shiva? Is there some reference or it is just word?
I don't know. I have not come across a reference. Sometimes people say the glancer is Shiva. Sometimes they say that the glance is Shiva. So I don't personally know of a reference where it is mentioned that even I also felt like that only. But when we were reading Laghu Bhagavatamrita, actually, Rupa Goswami clarifies that neither is that the glancer, he makes it very clear, is clearly Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. When it comes to destruction of universe, Lord Shiva is important.
Lord in the part of creation.
Yeah, that's how it is explained in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. But the whole confusion comes because that personality is mentioned as Shambhu.
Where are these two words?
It's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he quotes from some Puranas which mention such words.
Shambhu glances.
Shambhu glances. So that's where the confusion comes. So Rupa Goswami clarifies that Shambhu is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. Because there are so many other things that are mentioned about. Yeah. So he explains, oh see, this refers to Karma Dakshaya Vishnu. This feature refers to Karma Dakshaya Vishnu. But the doubt comes because of these three words. Shambhu, Trinayana and Neelakanta. So he clarifies that.
But in
Bhagavatam
there is not mentioned about that. Shambhu is glancing.
One reference that I remember is the Daksha episode where Brahmaji goes and with the demigods to pacify Lord Shiva, where he says, you are the creator. But he doesn't say that you are the creator, you glance Prakriti and like that, that kind of mention is not there.
Say, probably Shambhu actually brings Jivas from his, from Karanda Savishnu's glance and go to Prakriti.
It is possible. I am not, one thing I am telling for sure that the glancer is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. The glance can be Lord Shiva. I don't deny that. Quite possible. But I don't know of a reference. Quite possible. The glance can be Lord Shiva. I have heard this many times. But I don't know of a reference for that. Sometimes I hear, you know, it is there. Jagata Pitaro Vande Parvati Parameshwaro. Kalidas. Course. Sometimes it is quoted. Jagata Pitarau, the father and mother of this universe are mentioned to be Lord Shiva and Parvati. That is there, but apart from that one statement, it is quite possible that the glance is Lord Shiva. I am not denying it. But the glancer is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, that is for sure.
I have an example that somebody is in a building, contractor is in building, but the contractor who takes the risk, he doesn't build the building. He employs somebody.
Possible, that's what I am telling. Possible.
Not sure.
See, I can tell you which are the statements which I am sure and I have reference. The glancer is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. Without a doubt, I have reference. Lord Shiva destroys, he is engaged in destroying this universe. These two statements, there are ample statements supporting. There are many other statements which I have heard but I don't have a reference for that. Lord Shiva is the glancer. I have heard, but I don't have a reference. Lord Shiva is the glance. I have heard, but I don't have a reference. So, rest everything, you know, analogies to explain these various things, but I don't have a reference for that. Okay. Impelled by time, from the invisible Prakriti arose Mahatattva, composed of knowledge. So now, as soon as glance happens, the Lord has glanced Pradhan. Now Pradhan transforms into Mahatattva. Okay. And from Mahatattva now, the whole universal manifestation starts. Sopyam Shaguna Praratma
Bhagavad Drishti Gochara Atmanam Vyakarot Atma Vishwasyasya Sikrishaya.
Mahatattva, the shelter of the universe which was being created, whose form arises by Jiva Shakti, Gunas of Prakriti and time. See, Jiva Shakti is Kala Karma. Gunas, which were inactive, have now become active by the Kala, Kala Shakti. And is glanced upon by the Lord, transformed itself into another form by the Lord's desire to create Ahankar. Okay? Mahatattva transforms into Ahankar, further aided by the glance of the Lord. Almost the same verse, actually exactly the same verse. Maybe few words are slightly different, but actually the same thing. Mahatattva vipurvana
aham tattvam vyayata karya karana kartatma bhutendriya manomaya
vaikarika sthayasascha tamasascheti aham priya. You see, same thing. Further, by the glance of the Lord, Mahatattva transforms into Ahankar. This Ahankar is of three types: Sattvika Ahankar, Rajasa Ahankar and Tamasa Ahankar. Okay. Aham Tattvadvi Gurvanan
Mano Vaikarika Tabut Vaikarika Saye Deva Artha Vivanjanam Yataha.
So from Sattvika Ahankar manifested the sense devatas and mind. That's what this verse talks about. If you don't understand, just raise your hands, we'll go over it again. But we are discussing something which we already discussed in today's class only. Second canto, fifth chapter, exactly same as third canto, fifth chapter. Taijasan indriyanyeva jnana karma mayani cha. From Rajo, from Rajasik Ahankar arose knowledge and actions, such as karma indriyas and jnana indriyas. Of course, this is not mentioned. Prana and intelligence is not mentioned, but should be understood. Tamaso bhuta sukshmadir yatartam lingam atmanah. From Ahankar and Tamas arose the sense objects, starting with sound, pervaded by the Lord from which ether arose. So from Tamas Ahankar, sound arose. From sound, ether arose. Kalamayamsa yogena bhagavad vikshitam nabah. Napaso nasritam sparsham vipurvandirma menilam. From ether arose touch, from touch arose air. Anilo vipurvano napaso lopalanvitah sasarjaya upatanmatram jyotir lokasya lochanam. From air manifested form, from form manifested fire. Anilenanvitam jyotir
vipurvat
paravikshitam adattam bodha samayam kalamayamsa yogatah. From fire manifested taste, from taste manifested water. Okay. Jyotisham bodha samsrishtam vipurvat brahma vikshitam
mahim gandha gunam adat kalamayamsa yogatah.
So then further, from water manifested smell, and from smell manifested pur. Okay. Bhutanam nava adinam yadyat bhavyavaram tesham paran samsargat yata sankhyam gunan viduh. Okay. This also we saw. Ether has only sound, air has sound and touch, fire has sound, touch and form, water has sound, touch, form and taste, and earth has sound, touch, form, taste and smell. Okay, till here same as second canto. Now ete devah kala vishnu kala mayam shalinginah nanatvas vaginam priyanisha rochu pranjalayo vibhum. So at this point of time, now what is over? Karana Srishti is over. Karana Srishti is over. Individual elements have been created. At this time, what happens? Ete devaha, the devatas are the various elements, the elemental devatas. Vishnu ho kala, who are known as portions of Vishnu, because they are primary creation, directly created by Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. And possessing the power of transformation, emotional states and consciousness. Swakriya anishaha. Anishaha means incapable. Swakriya anishaha means they were incapable to perform their duty. Why? Nanatvat. Each of them were separate entities. So, we call that, oh, here is the Brahmachari ashram. When there is a sense of cohesion, when there is a sense of common vision and mission that all the residents share. But if they are just individual people staying at different places, we went to Amarkantak. We don't call that our Brahmachari ashram, because different people had come from different place, congregated there for a while, and they would go back. Okay. Nanatvat. So even though all the ingredients are there, but it is still not called a universe, because they are separate. It's like if suji, you can't individually eat suji, water and hope to digest it. It needs to be cooked properly. It's not yet called upma when they don't come together and get cooked. So nanatvat, because they were not related to each other, swakriya anishah, each one of them could not perform their function because they were separate. Pranjalaya, therefore with folded hands, prochuhu vibham, they began praising the Lord. They started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So these were quite exalted living entities actually. They are going to offer some really wonderful prayers. Some of the best prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam are offered by these personified elements. Very wonderful prayers. So here, Srila Vishnachakra Thakur writes, one should not say that this Mahattattva, Ahankar, because you would be wondering, Mahattattva, Ahankar is a material hai. These are all material. How can they offer such prayers? Their purpose is to distract the living entity from his goal of going back home, back to God. How come they are offering such prayers? Srila Vishnachakra Thakur clarifies here. Carefully listen. One should not say that Mahattattva, Ahankar and others are detrimental to the Jivas, because they throw the Jivas into repeated birth and death. Right? Because of identifying, wrong identification, because of Ahankar and all these Mahattattva and other material elements. That is why the living entity is undergoing repeated birth and death. Right? Correct or not correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is because of our desire.
Correct. It is because of our desires. It's not because of Mahattattva and Ahankar. The Mahattattva and Ahankar try to facilitate those desires. So our repetition of birth and death is not due to Mahattattva and Ahankar. repetition of birth and death, death is due to our own desires. Because if you have the right desires, you can use those, that same mahatattva, ahankar and all these elements to perform your sadhana and get out of this material world. So Maya Shakti is not the cause of our presence in this material world. Our own desires are the cause. If we want, we can use the same Maya Shakti or the ingredients provided by Maya Shakti to go back home, back to spiritual world. So that's what he is indicating here. One should not say that the Mahatattva, Ahankara are detrimental to the Jivas as they throw the Jivas into repeated births and hence they should be destroyed. No. Why? Because they are causeless assistants of the Supreme Lord and hence they should be worshipped. As much as these material elements are needed for nefarious activities means criminal activities, okay, which perpetuate birth and death, they are also needed for perfecting the progressive activities like Nishkama Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti. So for performing these sadhanas also, one needs all these elements. You need a body, you need a gross body, you need a settled body to perform your sadhana. And the gross body and settled body is also provided by these elements only. So therefore, a knife is not the cause of murder. It was the person who had a nefarious desire to kill someone and he used that knife. The same knife is used by a doctor, not exactly the same knife, but same family. A scalpel is used by a doctor to operate and cure a patient. So this mahatattva, false ego and all ego, let's take it that way, ahankar, all these things. Here when we say ahankar, see ahankar, the word ahankar is also used in two contexts. Ahankar means identification, identifying with the body. It's called mithya ahankar. But the word ahankar is also used to indicate the products of ahankar. Is there a single word that can be used to indicate karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, mind, intelligence, the five elements, five tanmatras? Is there a common word which can indicate all these elements? Ahankar, because they are all products of ahankar. So it is called ahankar. Sometimes the word ahankar is used to indicate the products of ahankar. For example, in the third canto, 27th chapter or 28th chapter, this verse comes. Nashte ahankarane atmanam nashtavat mrisha manyamanah nashta vitta iva adura. Like that, the verse comes. Nashte ahankarani, which literally means is the destruction of ahankar. But in that context, the word ahankar refers to products of ahankar. Here also, when I am reading, the word ahankar refers to products of ahankar and not the identification itself. Because one practicing bhakti also needs ahankar, which means the products of ahankar, to practice his sadhana. But he does not need that ahankar in the sense identifying with the products. So both are called ahankar. Like sometimes the word karma refers to the activity and sometimes the word karma refers to the reaction for that activity also. Like that. Okay. Therefore, what is the fault of the devatas appointed by the Lord and who are situated in the bodies of these evil persons? It's not the fault of the devatas. The devatas are not inspiring someone to act in a nefarious way. The devatas are not inspiring someone to act in a nice way. They are just facilitating your desires based on whether you have your currency of karma to support your activities. These are deities are called portions of Vishnu because they function for the Maya Shakti. And it is also mentioned subsequently that they are created by Karana Rudraksha Vishnu himself. So they are part of Prakriti Srishti, primary creation. So these devatas don't get their body from Brahmaji and other Prajapatis. Okay.
That Indra
is again not Prakrita creation. So the sense devatas and the actual devatas, they are not exactly the same. So the Indra and other devatas, they are the living entities who occupy that post. They are Vaikrita creation, they are secondary creation. But the living entities who act as the sense devatas, they are also like living in jivas only, but their bodies are created directly by Mahavishnu.
So
I
can do in this
way. Yeah. So just like the Supreme Lord can expand into unlimited forms, some empowered jivas can also expand into two or more forms. It is said that a yogi can at the most expand into nine forms or 50. Depends. So some of these demigods can expand to possess two bodies. One is the sense devata body, another is the demigod body. Like that. They are all expansions of each other. Okay, so that brings us to the end of Karana Srishti according to third canto. And there is some juice before we go to Karya Srishti. Not that is meant to be drunk from the mouth, but that should be drunk through the ears. That is the prayers offered by them. And they are pure devotees. And some of the best prayers of, you know, Bhagavatam are offered by these elemental, personified elements. Deva Uchuhu, they are going to offer. They are not mixed devotees. These personalities who are offering prayers are not mixed devotees because you can clearly see from the prayers that they are offering. Okay. Not all demigods are mixed devotees. Like for example, the next personality who will be occupying the post of Indra is whom? Bali Maharaj. So you can't say that Indra is mixed devotee. So when you can say, in that particular pastime, based on how that personality acted, you can conclude if that personality is a mixed devotee or a pure devotee. But that pastime happened many, many thousands of millennia before. Is that personality still a mixed devotee? We do not know. Because you would have also come across Vritrasura and other such pure devotees, and you would have definitely received some favorable Sukriti. So, and these are like powerful devotees. So it is not necessary that one will remain a mixed devotee throughout. and the post itself, to be a mixed devotee is not a prerequisite to occupy that post. Then Bali Maharaj is not qualified to occupy the post of Indra. It's not a prerequisite. So what you can say is, based on this pastime, you can say what kind of. So it is like a, so therefore you cannot say, is Indra a mixed devotee? So that's not a very valid question. You cannot give a yes or no answer for this question. Well, we do not know if that Indra is still a mixed devotee only. So there is scope for 10 years back we were also not devotees. So yes, if the same question was asked, is Jagannath Kripa Prabhu a devotee in 1990? Probably was. But the point is, you know, we all, there is a state, you know, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So, so therefore at some point people receive that faith of pure devotional service and they become pure devotees. So, no one, to be a mixed devotee is no one's eternal constitutional position. Like that. So now these personified elements, if you see the prayers that they are offering, very beautiful prayers. Some of these prayers we will try to memorize also. First 13 prayers that they offer, almost 10 prayers are, they are giving various reasons why they should surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. What are the benefits of surrendering the lotus feet? That is a theme, that is a thread that connects all these prayers. Surrendering to the lotus feet. How surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord is such a pleasurable thing. That is a theme. So, it's 12:30 already. So, what I will do is, we'll start the prayers tomorrow because I won't be able to even complete one prayer. And I have this. Because these are nice prayers. So we'll take them tomorrow. And the rest of the 6th chapter, a big portion of it we have already covered in the 2nd canto. We'll go through all the verses. But then, it is, this time when I was in Calcutta, I took 3.6. I completed 3.6 in 1 hour. Because if you have completed 2nd canto, same repetition comes in the 3rd canto, 3.6. So, I can still complete 3.6 in 1 hour. So, what I have in mind is, the remaining 13 verses of this chapter, I will cover the first 2 hours tomorrow. And the remaining 1 hour, I will cover the 6th chapter. And if in case something is left over, then if you are willing, we can extend tomorrow's session a little bit and complete. Because day after tomorrow, I am not scheduled to take. And I didn't expect to spend so much time in the 2nd canto description. So, if some extra time is needed, we will just try to stretch little bit. Whatever time, at a time which is convenient for all of you, we will take. If you want to stretch from 12:30 onwards till 1 more hour, or if you want to come in the afternoon and take, that we will see. We will decide it tomorrow. Okay, but we will start the prayers tomorrow.
Then for the course of Mahavishnu, then he reads out all the
before I take that question, or I will give you an option. Today also there will be no exam. There is no need to study for exam tomorrow. Can we have an additional session today only? If it is okay with all of you.
Yes.
5:30 to 6:30 you have Sadachara class. Yes. How about before that?
Tomorrow morning you can take from 9 o'clock.
Yes.
8:30.
If you are not taking exam tomorrow, then we can start early.
How
early?
8:30.
8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30.
8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30.
8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30.
8:30. 8:30. 8:30. 8:30.
8:30. 8:30.
8:30. 8:30. 8:30. We will try to start at 9 and go on till 1 and take inventory at that time. How far we are. Yeah. And then we will see. Okay. One quick question and then we will end.
Different Brahmajis have different number of heads and they have different number of years to live. And how at the same time they come inside Manish and they born at the same time, die at the same time.
I never mentioned they are born at the same time and die at the same time. Yeah, so this is, do they have the same lifespan? I am not very sure about it. So whether?
Different heads of Brahmaji have different lifespan.
Correct.
Powers.
Yeah, that is true. So it is quite possible. Again, I am speculating only. But whether I don't have a direct reference for a Shastric reference which says whether different Brahmas have different lifespans. I have heard about it from people. It could happen that individual universes, you know, have a different frequency of coming out and going in. That is also possible. It may be our universe may be 311 trillion years. There could be other universes which would come in and go out in a frequency of 100 trillion years.
So what you are saying that our Brahmaji has come out late and went in early?
I am not telling, I am speculating.
So,
in
the next 1 month, Bali Maharaj will take the post of India.
Yeah.
But one Baikalika Devta has already expanded as India.
That is the... that is the sense Devata. That's different. But this is the universal manager Indra. That's a different person.
But expansion is like...
Expansion in the sense... yeah, that's a fair point. So expansion in... Okay, at least consider that these two are different personalities, they are not the same person. This post is different, this post is different. This person who becomes a sense devata, his duration is throughout the lifespan of Brahmani. Whereas the post of Indra and other such devatas, their post remains for only one manvantara, which is 71 chaturyugas. These two are different forms. So these personalities, their bodies are created by secondary creation and the bodies of these sense devatas are created by secondary creation. Okay. Shila Prabhupada.